Welcome to Opening Presents, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Adam Coca. He's a photographer and a graphic designer based in Portland, Oregon. In this conversation, we discuss how being curious and helpful can open the door to new opportunities. Adam also shares his unique approach to making photos, where he merges analog and digital to create a hybridized work of art. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presents. Welcome to Opening Presents. Today is a very, we've come a long way.
Yeah, we have.
We've come a long way. This is round two of this podcast. Today I am joined by Adam. I always pronounce your last name wrong. Can you pronounce it for us?
It's Coca.
Coca. I'm in love with the Coca. So let me elaborate on this story. So at the beginning of 2020, I started this podcast called Opening Presents. You may have heard of it once or twice. And I was kind of in that beginning phase of just trying to lock down interviews. So I would just reach out to anybody on like my Instagram, and like Adam and I have met a couple of times prior to that, but I was like, oh, like, let's link up for this podcast. So we decided to shoot street photography and do the podcast outside of Keene downtown. So like cars.
Ton of traffic.
Yeah, cars going by. Like, but it was just in the middle of the street, and it was an awesome experience. And I think I recorded like the like the audio poorly. So
yeah.
We literally, like, this is 2 years later. So you're like my third interview at that point. But what do you remember from then, and what has the journey been to now?
Huh. I remember things being absolutely confusing, but you know, it was an interesting time, and it was that day in particular, I had a great time shooting with you. Like, I think we like really bonded over shooting street together and just like envisioning like how each other saw the street and then what tools we were using. And I feel like we bounced a lot off each other. What I remember from the podcast, like the episode we tried to record, was a lot of cars driving by. There was a couple of times that we actually like stopped our conversation to like kind of like, we were like, yeah, we'll cut that out.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure you're like one shot now, like you got it kind of figured out, but yeah, we were trying to be like, oh, well, you know, I'll edit that. I'll, you know, figure that out and stuff. But yeah, there was a lot of interference, I feel like, you know, with a lot of cars and stuff. But, you know, here we are in my studio now.
I know. So. It's a beautiful studio, by
Thank
the
you.
Way.
Thank
this
you.
Is definitely something I can get down with. Like, I was just geeking out over you have like a raising desk. And this is the first time that I've had like the microphone to like sit on something.
Yeah.
And I can like have my hands free, like a real podcast studio.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just like holding it with like the little leg, like if there's plenty of people that have been on the podcast, but it's like, you know, if you've been on that, I have like these little, like, I wouldn't say cheap microphones, but like they work, but they come with these like little like legs on them.
Yeah, little
and
tripods.
It's not like with the big old arm coming over where you get to sit in a podcast studio, but I like to be mobile. So going back to that time, do you remember what you were like shooting on, and like what was kind of like your current, I guess, like inspiration or muse or things that you're trying to portray with your photography?
You know, I think at the time, you know, I didn't have anything going on that was like too huge of a project. So, you know, being that I was like, you know, probably like a year and a half, 2 years into living in Portland, moving from Illinois, like I just was like, you know, I'm going to shoot street, I'm going to shoot portrait, I'm going to shoot, you know, just, you know, leaning into some fashion and stuff like that. But, you know, I had kind of like a wide idea of what I wanted to do. And I think now, you know, coming into 2022, I feel, you know, I have my own studio. I have more of a direction. I have like a piece of work that is much larger that, you know, we can discuss a bit more about that later on. But, you know, like just coming from then to now, you know, I just feel that, you know, I've grown as an artist and, you know, I've just tried to continue forward and continue growing and continue meeting good people. Like, that's just the main thing. Like, mm-hmm. when it comes down to it, like, my art is my art, but like at the end of the day, like the experience I get from like meeting and vibing with really cool people that, you know, give me their time and I give them mine, like that's really like what's in it for me, you know?
Yeah, I think over the last couple of years and just like viewing your work, like I definitely sense like a vulnerability that you're able to get from the people that you shoot, speaking specifically about like portrait shooting, that I don't see in a lot of like photographers. And I've seen like you model like half naked and shit, so yeah, I'm like, I think it's just as like an outside perspective, because we haven't like we've been around each other, but we haven't kept in touch and been able to like go in on these conversations.
I mean, we have the, you know, the odd message here and there, we discuss cameras and stuff,
Fuji gang. But yeah, something that I recognize is just like the vulnerability and just like getting people to share like themselves in more so like vulnerable positions or places and like tap in on like what that relationship is, to, because it's like it takes a while for me to like even like warm up, and if I'm shooting something, it's like it's very difficult for me to like I can do it, like what I do in conversation I can't mimic with the camera. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
You know, going back to, you know, the half naked, you know, me being half naked, like, you know, for a shoot, you know, I did basically like what you're referencing is like, you know, I did a photo shoot with my partner, Kelsey, where I wore like kind of the sheer dress and like a shower and stuff. And I'm really happy with how the photos turned out. But I remember making an Instagram post with that where, you know, I was just talking about like as a photographer, specifically a photographer that shoots portraits, like I don't expect anything out of models that I myself wouldn't do. And like often, like you'll see me, like I do really goofy things when I shoot with people. Like if I'm like trying to explain a pose, like often I'll just get into the pose. Like if I like need to lay on the ground, if I need to, you know, contort my body in a way or whatever, I just, you know, I'm super visual. So like, I also express myself visually in a way too. So like, I think just, you know, communicating that and understanding that, like, or at least having my subject understand that, like, I wouldn't put you in a vulnerable situation that I wouldn't necessarily myself be comfortable with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, like comfort is like the main thing. Comfort and understanding, you know, where your subject comes from and what their vulnerabilities are, and not exploiting them, but, you know, opening them up and letting them be themselves freely, mm-hmm. you know, is kind of like my goal when I work with people.
Yeah. I think like letting people know that you're on their side, mm-hmm. especially like in such a short window, which I feel is kind of like a superpower. Cause it's like, you gotta, like, there's people that don't trust family members. It's like, you don't trust your mom and like, she brought you here.
Yeah.
And it's like, and like to create that rapport, like in such a small window. And I think it's like a lot of just like pattern recognition too. It's like, mm-hmm. you can kind of just, or just intuition, pattern recognition, and just like wanting to like support others in that space and like seeing like the potential within them. It's like, I know you can go to this little place. And
yeah,
it's like,
totally.
And it, there's a fine line between it being like them taking it the wrong way and thinking that you're trying to like expose or be malicious with mm-hmm. them.
Or exploit them for whatever reason.
Yeah, because it's like, I've been in that place. Like when I was younger, I didn't have as much like, I guess like tact with like seeing someone's potential
mm-hmm.
and then trying to guide them like a fucking Australian shepherd to that experience, to see themselves in that light. And I may have expressed this on the podcast before, but like the thing that I was lacking was that I wasn't guiding myself mm-hmm. to that highest potential, because I would just deny myself.
Yeah, I mean, having the confidence to ask someone is like a whole thing in itself. You know, like just being like, you know, just asking someone where their comfortability lies and like where those boundaries are set. You know, like that's mm-hmm. that in itself comes from, like, you know, just understanding what you want out of it, but not, you know, like choosing how to carefully go about that and respect the person, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'm shooting portraits, I don't know what I want from the person. Mm-hmm.
It's, well, like, that's
literally just don't know.
That's the thing too, is like, I feel like maybe like not envisioning the final image, but envisioning, you know, what's a small thing I could do to get them to that image? You know, mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, where we can like meet at the same point, because, you know, like things are all, you know, happening moving forward in time, and we're like just capturing it with the single second, you know, sure. with the photo. So it's like, you just kind of need to make things like cross at the right moment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And trying new things in real time. Yeah. So how long have you said you've been in Portland for how long now?
So I moved to Portland June 17th of 2018.
Damn, I was June 12th, 2016.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Where'd you move from again?
San Diego,
yeah. I'm from southwest suburbs, Chicago.
Okay.
So.
Nice. What was it? What was your life like out there before you moved here?
You know, like, I grew up playing a lot of sports. I played football for somewhere between like 8 or 9 seasons. Mm-hmm. And which is kind of ironic, because like now I really don't identify with football at all.
You don't come off as like jock.
Yeah, no, like I well, like, the thing about football is like I was always like, I enjoyed team sports, I enjoyed people I played sports with and stuff, and like I'm still friends with some people. Like, you know, one of my good friends plays for the Bears and stuff. Mm. Oops. Plays for the Bears. And you know, I just don't identify with it anymore. And I think, you know, I really enjoyed my time with it, but like I played kind of second fiddle like the whole time. I was, you know, I had a good friend who played quarterback. I was second string. Like, mm-hmm. I was always kind of like second string B team. And, you know, maybe that goes to saying like maybe football just wasn't my thing, you know, but,
sure.
But yeah, no, I feel like I learned a lot of good things there. And then, besides that, I really took up, you know, BMXing and photography in high school. And that was through my graphic design class,
mm-hmm.
Which I now, you know, my day job currently is I'm a lead designer at Big Frog. And so I do graphic design and then obviously photography and stuff. But I picked up photography while doing graphic design in high school. And I feel like that really set me on my path. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, when I went into college, like, I was constantly told like that art wasn't necessarily a viable option. Not so much my family, like my family was like pretty supportive and cool about it and stuff, but you know, it's like hard to see a direction in that initially.
Yeah, even though there's a like everything runs on creative. Like, everything runs on creative,
especially, you know, in our digital landscape.
Yeah,
now.
It's ridiculous.
And so, like, yeah, like, just, you know, being told that, like, you know, art isn't necessarily going to guarantee you a job or mm-hmm. something like that. I went into college going for a history degree and going into, I had like a double major doing teaching. And mm-hmm. I ended up dropping the teaching because I found out that I was behind on credit hours and was told, like, yeah, you're going to have to go to college for 5 years. So I was like, I'm over that.
Fuck those kids.
Yeah. And I think in college, like, I met my friend Diego, and they really, they were a tattoo artist, and they really showed me, you know, that I had a lot of potential in art and stuff. And then I really, like, just started picking up my camera way more. Like, I just had a camera for years. Like, I was always doing something occasionally on it, you know, since high school, I'd say. But, you know, they really solidified that, like, you know, I could probably do something with that. So, like, halfway through college, I was like, I'll get my degree, but I am probably going to pursue art after this. Mm-hmm. And my good friend from college, Ed, who lives out here now, Dentist PDX, shout out, he moved out here to pursue, you know, art and tattooing and stuff. And he was like, you should come out too. Like, you know, like, we need another roommate. And, you know, I was like, I'm totally down. Let me get my degree. Then I'm out. And then, like, 2 months after graduating, moved out here and been here since.
Nice. So did you, outside of just like the invitation, like, what was like landing here like as far as like finding community and finding yourself as an artist and then kind of uncovering kind of like a trajectory for your career?
You know, when I first landed, I was picked up by our friend, our old friend Johnny, and I was picked up by Ed in like his BMW. So my first thought was like, oh wow, like, you know, we got friends out here, like we know people and stuff. But yeah, like, you know, I very quickly, you know, I found a like a small group of friends that like really like, you know, we all really like bonded, and you know, we all liked art, we all liked music, we all liked, you know, drinking and, you know, partying and stuff like that. And I like jumped right into cooking. So I like I worked for Marukan.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my god,
yeah.
Best broth in town.
Oh, I know. Literally the best broth in town.
Super, like, I
still go there.
I guess like,
dude,
my favorite bowl is Kazuki in Beaverton.
Oh, okay.
Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it kind of shits on Marukan.
Oh, okay.
But Marukan was like just so close and convenient, and I didn't have to drive out there, so it was like the most consistent bowl that I would have. But
always consistent.
Yeah,
dude.
I'm a huge ramen snob.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think they've since rebranded to Kimbashi.
Okay, so so it's the same
people,
bowl.
Yeah, Mayumi, the chef there, she still is running everything. She
Got
was
it.
With Marukan originally. I worked at the Pine Street one, where it's just like the open kitchen and stuff, and that was a good time, but like honestly, like it really hit me in my anxiety, like just working there, like because like, you know, I worked in kitchens, I was used to it, but like working in kitchens, you know, on days when you don't feel the best, especially an open kitchen, is really tough. Like it was kind of tough mentally on me, because like I would have days where I just didn't feel 100%, and to try to go into work and like have people stare at you all day, like especially like, you know, like there's no sick days in a kitchen, which is kind of ridiculous, you know, because it's like that's the one place maybe you should have some sick days. But like, you know, I called out like twice in a week, and then that's how I got let go because of that. But other than that, like it was just like I enjoyed it. And shortly after that, like, you know, I was like, you know, I got to get out of food.
Yeah.
So I like, you know, I went and worked as a print tech for FedEx, which was kind of hell, but and then I moved up into Big Frog as a lead designer, and you know, now I feel like with my studio and, you know, being able to kind of consistently work extra hours on my weekends and time off and stuff like that, I've been able to build up a bit of a clientele and start working, you know, on my own personal photography and multimedia art work.
Nice. Yeah, an open kitchen. That sounds like death. Like the whole point of working in the kitchen is to you,
like
don't,
hide away.
You don't deal with fucking customers. Like I used to work at Victoria Bar in North Portland as a line cook. And there's the best thing about it is that you know that you're the hardest working people in the whole building. Mm-hmm. And when you do a good job and everyone's satisfied, there's like, you know who did it, even though your paycheck doesn't show it. It's like I know I made that shit pop.
Yeah.
And nobody's giving me credit for it. Well, everyone that works with you knows who, like, they know, like, who's really putting in the work. But, yeah, there was that point for me. It was, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, because it stays open until fucking forever. Mm-hmm. And there would be plenty of times where I clean the whole entire kitchen, and then there would be, like, a group, like 7 people coming in wanting like fresh food, and I got to like get everything back out. But there was a, like this moment of just like clarity. It was like raining, like first couple years in Portland. Like I was taking out the trash, cleaning up 2 o'clock in the morning, like carrying a bag of trash over like my shoulder. And I was just like calmly just walking it to the trash can, getting drenched in rain. And I was just like, yep, this is just a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is just a part of this whole thing. I wasn't mad. I was just completely, like, at peace with, like, I had made the trip up. And that was, like, the most important thing. It was leaving San Diego, starting over here, and then figuring it out. And that was just, like, a part of, like, the journey.
Mm-hmm.
What are the actions that you took that led to, like, landing this, like, new creative lead role for Big Frog?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's, like, I've been building portfolio over time. And it's just like you just do a million things, and then it just somehow like bubbles up into an opportunity.
Yeah.
But how did that kind of process work for you?
You know, I had just been like working on different like types of art and stuff, like mainly digital, like working in, you know, a lot of Illustrator and stuff like that, making vector images. But I was doing that and I was working at FedEx at the time, and you know, the guys at Big Frog would like come down and like pick up their packages there and stuff. So like I've always been, you know, maybe a bit of an opportunist, honestly.
As you should be.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I basically was like, hey, you know, if you're the clientele, you know, I'll try to make a connection with you. Like, it only make my service better. But at the end of the day, like, if you walk out of FedEx and you remember my name and you know who I am, you know what I mean? Maybe in the future, there's something we could do together. And that, you know, culminated into, you know, talking to the guys at Big Frog and finding out, you know, hey, we have a designer leaving to go to Nike. And I'm like, cool, I want to slide in there and, you know, be your next designer. Like, let me, you know, so I got there, I got Sanford's, he's the owner. I got his contact and I was just like in there instantly. I was just like, I want to work here. Like, I see what you guys do. And for anyone who doesn't know, you know, we do custom t-shirt printing, we do garment printing and stuff. And we work with a ton of different businesses here in Portland, and, even businesses outside of Portland we ship too. So, but yeah, like I basically have always been working jobs that, you know, they're all right, you know, like they pay the bills and stuff, but I'm always, you know, just looking for, you know, what's the next thing that, you know, is the next step, you know, and it hasn't all been like linear necessarily.
Sure.
But, you know, going from food to like print tech, then opened the door to like going into design, you know, having the background in that as well. So, you know, who knows what's next, other than, you know, shooting photos. Like, I would love to get into shooting photos full time. And that'll definitely take time. But yeah, I got a lot of faith in that as well.
Yeah. So. The only thing is just like, keep on taking photos. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing.
Yeah. And I've been kind of dabbling in like creative direction a little bit. And like, you know, I got some projects that are like in the early stages right now. But yeah, I really want to like, you know, get into like, you know, doing creative directing and photography mostly full time. So,
oh yeah, that'll happen for sure. Yeah. I like the, like, there's so many like opportunities when it just comes to just being open and communicating constantly, and not having a timeline. Like, that's the thing that it's helped me the most, is just like, hey, if we make a genuine connection, I'm not expecting anything of anybody. It's like,
or loose timelines. Like, yeah, my whole thing is like, you know, I've basically want to, you know, like, I tell myself, you know, in the next 2 years, I want to be here. And it's like, you know, even if it, like, I don't meet it by that mark, you know, at least I knew, you know, I'm working towards that direction, and I'm working in a direction that let me there occasionally, eventually, you know.
Yeah. And being open for like a detour, because like there's things that I had never imagined, like that just popped up out of nowhere. And I'm just like, I guess I'm going to do this now. It's like, I spoke at a school this last week.
I saw that.
Yeah. I was like, I'm speaking to like middle schoolers and high schoolers, like two back-to-back speeches off the top of the dome. Just like, what am I going to, like, obviously it was like centered around like meditation and wellness, but it was like an hour. I can't just like, I don't have like a script going in, but like,
oh, you could talk forever, man.
Yeah. The level of like adrenaline just to be like, oh, like I've been like trying to teach like adults, like how to meditate. I'm like, yo, these kids are way more malleable and willing to listen like to me right now. Like, this could be like a whole thing. And that just came about from, I can see the through lines from all of my experiences now. I can see different through lines. Like, I went on a hike with my friend Rashad from Camp Yoshi, and there was a woman who was on the hike as well, taking photos. And she had like this, I think it's a nonprofit of some sort, I forget the name of it, forgive me. But they had like a directory of like, for like opportunities for photography and just like whatever, like projects. And that was like over, like close to like a year ago. And then I get a cold email like a couple weeks ago saying like, hey, my name's Hal from Northwest Academy. Like, I got your contact from this directory and wondering if you'd be willing to speak to the kids.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you never know.
Like, of course. Yeah. Of course. So just being as close to like your highest self everywhere and just treating everybody with respect at all. Like, yeah, it's, and that's something that I appreciate about this city, because it's like there's people watching you when you don't even know it,
and it's small, you know, like tiny. I find people, you know, that know you, and then I'm like, oh, you know, I know Aaron too, you know, I know this person too, you know, and it's so like, before you know it, you know, like you almost end up working with like at least like a third of the city or something like that, or at least
definitely
coming in contact with them for the most part.
Yeah, most definitely.
I think everyone really crosses paths, I would say often, maybe a couple times over in the city.
I do feel like the city, like I still have a lot of things to get done here, but I have this intuition that there's like a cap, like a ceiling that you reach here at some point.
I get that feeling from a lot of people too.
There's not a lot of like big money commerce, like big huge opportunities, and it's like they're reserved for certain people, air quotes. It's like, oh, like we're gonna hire this same person over and over again, and it's like, okay, where's the end to get some new perspectives in this? And it's like, no, we don't want that. It's like they could fake it really good, so they're gonna keep getting this giant check for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's just like, all right, cool.
Yeah,
but like I just went to Dallas a couple of last week, and just seeing like how big that city is, and it's just like how much business and how much money is there. I was like, oh, like this is like I don't want to, I don't want to say I don't want to move there, but it's like, I feel like Portland definitely is like lacking like kind of like that true like go-getter like spirit. It's just like, oh yeah, we're happy with like our little piece over here, but it's like, all right, well, what if we want more?
For sure. Yeah. No, I definitely feel that. I feel like that there's definitely people, you know, that are doing their thing here until the ticket comes to take it elsewhere. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that by any means. But, you know, like maybe there is a cap. Maybe there isn't. Like,
sure,
I think for some people, you know, there isn't. Like, I think they can continuously go, and I think you can even travel. Like, you can just call Portland a home base and stuff.
Yeah.
It just depends on the nature of your work, you know? I talk to my partner about this often. I personally, I'm a city person. I want to live in cities. Like, I like cities. I like, you know, the community that comes from it. I like the access to, you know, different people and different perspectives and stuff like that that comes from living in a city. But definitely call Portland home right now. But like, you know, like if there's good opportunities that take me to, you know, LA, Seattle, San Francisco, Chicago, you know, Texas is great. I don't know if I necessarily would move there, but that's just me. But yeah, like there are other cities like that, like in New York, you know, like places like where like there's things going on, and like for the right opportunity, you know, I'm not against like, you know, taking those opportunities, and you know.
Yeah, I think just knowing what we want at the end of the day, because I think just what you're alluding to before, just like the flexibility to leave and then come back, because I definitely would call Portland home. And as things have become like more online and more digital, and how do you like optimize that to like the fullest extent, your like digital presence and like capabilities to like communicate with people around the world, because it's a global economy, not just a Portland economy. And how do you tap into that and utilizing all the tools that we have? Still kind of like a code that I'm like trying to crack, because it's like there's no reason why we all can't like sustain ourselves doing the things that we're best at and that we love. You know, it's like there's enough people out in the world that resonate with you exactly who you are, and that goes for everybody listening right now. It's like there are those people that fuck with you heavy that are your number one fans. You have at least like 10,000 number one fans in the world, at the very least. That's shooting very, very low. And it's like, how do you cultivate your story and create your message and get it to those people, you know, where it just resonates and they're like, oh my gosh, like I want to support this person. Like, I want to give him like this much. I want to buy all of the things that he has to put out into the world. Yeah, so that's kind of like the space of, using our tools to create the lives that we want. And when I first came into this beautiful studio that I'm sitting in right now, you said something very like telling that I wanted to lead with, but I was trying to figure out like how we're gonna like weave into it. But I guess right now, like you said to me, like you've always been the person to like use what you had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Can you dive into that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, building off the whole idea of just like opportunities and like being flexible and taking those opportunities, you know, like I didn't have a lot of direction like in my early part of photography. So I was like, if anyone wants to shoot, wants to be a part of this, wants to create with me and they're open to it, like I'm down, like let's do it and stuff. And like, you know, in college, I didn't have a studio. I mostly went and shot on location for the most part with like portraits, used mostly, I mean, basically just, you know, whatever tools are in front of me, like making the most out of an image. Like I think making the most out of my art with that. I've always like felt like, you know, until now that my cameras were like kind of behind, I was like, you know, a couple, like I think I had a Canon T5i and I was always like, you know, looking at like the 5Ds and stuff like that when I was like early in my photography. But you know, I made it work for probably like, you know, life cycle and stuff and moved to Fuji and stuff. But you know, even in small spaces, I've always been able to make it work. Like I did a couple photo shoots in my old apartment when I first moved here, like, and that apartment specifically, I lived in the living room, so you know, made the most of what I had even there. Just in the vein of just taking any opportunity I could, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's something that I still come into conflict with internally of like trying to have like these perfect conditions before I actually do something. It's like, like we were just talking like back when we, at least when I first started, like, I think this is just like a normal photographer's thing. It's like you get the camera to use and then you're just like immediately lusting over another camera and you're just not shooting, and that goes for like anything. It's like once I get X, like I will start, and it feels like as soon as like I, that tension of like not doing kind of builds so much to where you're just like, you know what, fuck this shit, like I have the damn thing right here,
like do it,
and you just go do it, and it just frees you up and you're just like, yo, I could have been doing this
the whole time.
The whole time I could have been into it, and I've been creating this like narrative inside of my head of like why, like whatever output I have with these tools is not good enough. And it's like once I have that $5,000 camera, or once I have this program, this specific music editing program, or once I have these clothes, or once I have this one thing, then the world will be complete. And that's, I don't know, like how do we get out of that space? Cause it always comes back. It always creeps back in. Like,
yeah, totally.
I go through that same phase. Like, oh, it's like I just launched my website finally. And I was like, my website's gotta be fresh. It's gotta be clean. It's gotta be like this place that everyone wants to go hang out on like the interwebs. And it's just like, no, motherfucker, you just need to launch it. And once I did, I was like,
something, right?
Yeah. Once I launched it, I was like, oh, now I have space for other things. Like now I can check that box off. It's not where I want it to be, but it's live. Like it's out into the world
and
now.
It's, I mean, it's always, you can always build on top of
it.
Like that's the thing too, is like, you know, I feel websites are interesting because they're sort of like organically like growing constantly. Like, you know, like my website, you know, started, you know, with like 3 pages. It was like about, and then like portraiture and fashion. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even shoot anything anything for a fashion brand or anything like that necessarily at the time, but it was the direction I was trying to go, you know? And like, since then I've like added to it. I've added this larger piece of work, that I'm also like working on, and like, you know, it grows exponentially over time. Like, it's like, if you had it all right in front of you, like at the beginning, maybe it would be boring, you know, similar to like, you know, having, you know, like the perfect camera stuff. Like that, I mean, I'm at the point, you know, with cameras where like I'm almost wanting to simplify it. Like I would rather it be like there's me and my subject, but there has to be a camera between us, because otherwise I'm not capturing anything. So like to have, you know, like something like the Fuji systems that like I feel like they sort of melt away in my hands. Like I feel so, it's just like I'm just, it's not even a tool. Like it just feels an extension of yourself, where like it's not getting in the way anymore, you know, where like I would tinker with like, you know, like my camera, and then constantly be like, while I was tinkering with it, I was like, oh, well, you know, if I had this camera, it'd be way easier and it'd be a lot faster and stuff like that, where you get to the point where you can start simplifying things and you feel more confident in those things. Like, I think you ultimately end up creating something even greater out of that, you know?
Yeah. I think like by the doing, like I think a lot of us are like comparing ourselves to other people and stuff, but it's like,
yeah,
I feel like,
and not doing, like, yeah, I feel like it's like there's a lot of comparison, especially, you know, with like Instagram and with the internet in general. Like you can look at someone who has beautiful photos and stuff, but like the one thing you might never hear from them is the fact that they didn't get paid for any of it, or they didn't, you know, like it hasn't necessarily like, you know, a windscreen of like, you know, like, it's beautiful. It like presents itself really well and stuff, but like, you don't know what goes into like making all that, you
yeah.
know?
Like, but that turns into like an opportunity though. It's like, it's more about the doing. And then I think what I was alluding to is like find, that's how you like find a style is by consistently like being curious to keep on creating things. And then like with that persistence, like you start veering off into your own space. Cause I think you can't find a style by not doing something.
Yeah.
Like it's impossible. It's like you can be inspired by certain things, but to develop your own style over time, you need to have the consistency component. And then once you identify those things that differentiate your stuff from someone else's stuff, then you go into that and start like creating your own like little world.
Yeah.
And that's a place that I don't think enough people like get themselves to.
Yeah.
Like of like, differentiating themselves.
It's like you need to like spread yourself thin to be able to see like what you could create. And then like kind of, it's got to be like 3/4 curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And like the last quarter is just being able to reflect on it. Like reflecting on your work is important. It's not the most important part necessarily, because if you spend too much time on an image, you become like fixated with it, and then you're like not thinking about like future images, but like being curious of like what you could continuously shoot while being aware of what you're shooting and how you're shooting it and like what the style comes out to, like that I feel like is how eventually you'll kind of like make like something that like someone looks at and goes like, oh, that's an Adam Coca image, that's, you know, that's Aaron's image, you know, like so
I don't even know what my photography style is. I think I have the most fun doing street, like being on the street, like with a film camera.
At the end of the day, have fun. Like, yeah, you know, that's like that's the main thing.
That's like across the board. It's like, what is going to like, I want to say like the comfort zone. Cause there's like a comfort within like the chaos that we experience when we push ourselves and like things like this, it's like, this still pushes me. Like I still have to show up and I still gotta like kind of be on, like I still give myself grace to kind of weave. But it's like, this is all in the moment. So there's a level of anxiety that's kind of like laced within it to arrive at something. Like I'll tie a bow at some point, but it may not be at the point that y'all like want it to happen, but it always comes back at some point. And that level of just like uncertainty, like gives me like a little bit of energy. But yeah, finding those things, like being on the street, like there's a couple of photos where I'm like, damn, like that's it right there. How do we just keep on doing that? And it's like, you got to keep on showing up over and over and over again.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I think you'll definitely like, you know, by doing, you'll eventually find it. You'll find what even like you were trying to say, but didn't know you were trying to say like in the beginning.
What are you inspired by these days?
I mean, there's a lot of good art that's being made right now. I don't have anything specific off the top of my head, other than I've been really interested in a photographer named Ralph Gibson, which I say that as if people don't know who Ralph Gibson is, but I don't know who he is. Oh, he's a very good photographer. What's interesting about it is I find myself really attracted to black and white photography. And I think I've kind of almost gotten to the reason why I like that. And I think what it is, I'm really attracted to like shape and just different like leading lines and things like that within photography, and like, you know, making something complex simple or making something simple look really complex. I think that's just kind of a theme that like I've been playing with. But like Ralph Gibson shoots black and white, only black and white, and I shoot black and white occasionally, but mostly like a ridiculous amount of color. Like I almost like want more color than like is even comfortable in an image sometimes, because like I like to play into surrealism, and I haven't seen too many people doing some things that like I'm doing. And I'm, you know, not to talk myself up necessarily, but like there's been times where like I'm trying to mood board something for someone and I'm like, I can't find anything that like expresses what I like want to do with this. So like sometimes I like end up drawing shit out because I'm just like, you know, like I don't really know how to tell you exactly what I'm going to do with this, but I know I'm going to do something like crazy with the colors and, you know, kind of distort and warp this in a way that like feels surreal, which is how a lot of my new work is like. I'm referring to it as altered dimensions right now. Alone, like, is like the whole play on it is like consumption. Like, that's kind of like the theme throughout it. And how we consume art and mediums that we consume it in, both like digital and like an analog medium, such as like something tangible, like a print compared to like a screen.
Yeah.
That's just been something that like I've been very interested in because I'm like, you know, what's the worth of something on a screen compared to a worth of something, you know, printed or worth of something tangible as opposed to something digital? And like, you know, there's a lot of that being tested currently, like in our society and stuff. And I think that that's what I'm playing into with the work and stuff and kind of taking. I'm like shooting a ton of digital right now because I'm able to take raws and just blast colors one way or the other. Like, my influences have been really interesting because like they're like, I'm just pulling colors and ideas of color combinations and then looking at black and white photos. So that's like, that's just been like the interest of my work. And then just kind of watching things online. Like it took me a while to realize that like the work itself was coming together organically for that. That like just through me consuming digital media and me consuming tangible media, such as like books and stuff, like that there was an effect it was having on me in the work that I wasn't super aware of, which is kind of ironic considering that like I was thinking about all these things but not thinking about my own consumption. The work is like, you know, I think you've seen the image, like it's like a portrait of this model Lucy where I took like a inverted image and then wove it together. And like what I did basically is I made prints and then I like physically cut them into quarter inch pieces and then wove them back together to like playing on multiple mediums and playing on, you know, a tangible medium and then making it digital again with like a really high, I took like high res TIFF that's like 50 or 60 megabytes, like close to like a normal raw image or something. Yeah. But yeah, that's, you know, that work has been coming together just through just like kind of influences that I'm searching out, but also influences that I didn't realize I was even picking up on.
You know? Yeah. We're so malleable by the things that we consume. It's just like, it is weird when things do become us. Like,
And reflecting on that is like really, really weird. You're like, oh, this, you know,
I'm so great.
Well, like you think that like even the things that you see that like you don't connect with don't have an influence on you, but like, you know, even like in a split second, like, you know, the amount of content we do take in a day or, you know, a week, a month, you know, like is a whole ton of influences that could, you know, steer you one way or the other, you know, like, especially if you're making art or I think like with the series too, I also ask myself, like, do you want to make something or do you want to consume something? And like kind of like asking yourself that question, like
creator versus consumer.
Yeah. Like, you know, like I, you know, not to dunk on anyone, but like there are
yams,
not to dunk on anyone, but like sometimes I see people and I'm like, you ever make anything?
Yeah.
Like I see you consuming all the time. I consume all the time, like constantly. But at the same time, like, I want to make too. So I just, you know, I want to be a maker and not just a consumer.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Most definitely. Yeah, I definitely want to produce more things than I consume. Yeah. I think as humans, like we try to make sense of things. Like that's all we do is just try to make sense of things. So even over time, if something doesn't make sense, but we get presented with the same stimuli over time, like we'll make it make sense, like just because it's like it has to at some point.
It'll
evolve. It'll evolve and adopting like a palette that you find like revolting. It's like this is fucking gross. But then like enough people are doing it, and it just becomes a part of like the societal like norm or just like in the zeitgeist. It's like, oh, you know what? I like that. Like, I like that now, and I'm going to get a beanie like that. Or you see things, so like, so how certain things catch on, and I'm just like, I would never fuck with that. And then, like, 3 months later, you're like in it.
Yeah.
You're like skinny jeans and big shirts and all that kind of shit. Like all the style things where I was like, nah. Like I was at like a store the other day and I was getting some cologne and then they had nail polish there. And asked the person, I was like, should I get nail polish now? Because everybody's doing nail polish now. I was like, you know what? I can do some nail polish now.
Yeah.
I didn't get the nail polish, but you know what I mean. I'm just like,
You're like
I could see it. Like, yeah, I could see me doing it. And whether that's like dyeing my hair blonde or red or green or whatever, it's just like, like the things come up. But it's like, I'm interested in like what is like uniquely like me or what is uniquely you that arises. It can be inspired by, but it's like what's the new take on it rather than just like a copy and paste from said rapper or said creative or whatever. And it's I think that does come from like the doing and the process of, and like you mentioned before, like not to be cocky, but there's a point where you have to start like fucking with yourself. You're mm-hmm. like, yo, like I got this shit and I'm gonna like. Like, I remember when I was, like, in middle school, I was, like, a huge, like, Allen Iverson fan, and I went to, like, a mostly, like, white school, but I didn't even know I took it from Allen Iverson, but I started wearing, like, wristbands, like, basketball sweatbands and, like, headbands to school, and, like, I was like, oh, hell yeah, like, I was, like, in, like, sixth or seventh grade, and, like, I wasn't really, like, talkative, but then, like, I was at the drinking fountain one day and a kid came up and he had a fucking black sweatband on his arm. And I was like, yo, I started that. And then he turns around. And he's like, no, you didn't. And then runs away. And I was like, wait, but I think like my confidence obviously like wasn't that high, like when I was that young, but like to that person now, like if I'm on something and it's like, it's my thing, I'm like, oh yeah, I know that was my thing. It's like, I see y'all around the city trying to do this thing. I'm good. Happy that y'all are doing something.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't got to tell me otherwise. No. It's like, I know.
It's all good. Yeah. Like, but getting to that place of like comfort with self, but then trusting the intuitions that we have to just go all in on it, regardless of if anybody else is congratulating you or saying like, oh yeah, you know where that came from. It's like deep down, we all know who wore the wristband first.
Yeah. I think what plays into that too is like, I feel like I have a weird thing where like, if people ever tell me that like, I can't do something, I'm gonna do it harder. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I just feel like people telling me like, you know, my art's good, or people telling me this, like, you know, that only does so much, but like people telling me like, nah, that's not it, bro. I'm like, Oh no, it is. It is like, and you'll see like that's just kind of like, you know, and I'm not trying to be cocky. If I feel, you know, like that I trust, you know, my direction in something, like I'm gonna just go with it. Like in it, you know, it's not that I'm not open to other perspectives or open to other like ideas in it and stuff. I'm super open to it. But like, if it just doesn't feel like it meshes with like my work or like, you know, my direction, I think like, I guess like more so like I'm thinking like when, if people like just doubt me in general, like that's really where I'm like, no, I got this. Like that really fuels me. Cause it's like, I almost want to like make that person go like, oh no, I was wrong. I know.
if they ever say that.
Yeah. And they might never, like, that's not the thing. Like I'm just proving to myself that like I can do it no matter what people say. You know?
Yeah. I think that like stage, like it's like, I've denied myself for so long and it didn't work. Denying myself. So it's like, hey, how about let's try this thing called believing in yourself and not just like, and downplaying your gifts to the world. And it's like, you know what, like it didn't feel good the other way, so how about I say like, hey, I'm gonna support myself like with my own deeds and my efforts and be confident with the things that I put out into the world, because I know I have good intentions, so why fucking hide from it?
Yeah, and at least you could say you did it at the end of the day. You know what I mean, like instead of sitting around and like, you know, so and so told me, you know, I couldn't do this, or so and so told me I wouldn't be successful.
Oh my god, yeah, you know, like, and it's funny because it's like, I've over the years, it's like I like think back and I'm just like, oh, that person was like telling me I couldn't do it. Like I remember it was like when I was first like starting like just like more meditation stuff, and I was like sharing in the topic of sharing ideas, but just like expressed it to somebody, and they're like, oh yeah, there's tons of people that do that. And it was just like it didn't affect me in that, like, but there's not a million of me. Like, I am the most, like, I'm unique in that sense. It's like, So just like paying attention to what people say, but not taking it to heart though. Cause it's like, yo, it always is going to come down to what you decide to do. And it's like far too often, like we decide to follow other people's perceptions of us that are completely inaccurate. And it's like, oh yeah, well, like let's validate and reaffirm their third party view when internally it's like my truth is here.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, let's stop doing that.
Yeah. And like, you know, don't like necessarily internalize like everything that's thrown at you or anything, mm-hmm. but like if you're going to internalize anything, like have it be like positive, even if mm-hmm. it is like a negative comment about like your work or the direction you're taking with something. Like, just like if someone doesn't believe in that, you can tell yourself, I believe in it and I'm just going to double down on that.
Yeah. You know? And then like, like the super flex is just like, oh my gosh, I still love this person so much. And I just kill them with kindness type of thing. It's like, oh, I wish that they'd achieve all their dreams that they've ever wanted, but in their life.
With a little disrespect at the same time.
It's like one day they'll see it.
Yeah. You're like, I'm gonna succeed, but I'm gonna succeed and be like, you know, low key, like, you know, you told me no.
You saw it. You see it. What else you want to talk about? What's on kind of like the general like perspective of either creative landscape or societal landscape that you've noticed that you're like, oh, I've been thinking about this a lot.
You know, I've been people and how, you know, like they have the capacity to be good to one another. And sometimes they choose the other way, you know? And I feel like that weighs on me heavy pretty often, honestly. I think also like news cycle leans into that as well. Kind of pulls the negativity. You know, when I pull myself out of my phone, you know, I sit down with you, I sit down with Kelsey, I sit down with, you know, a lot of other, you know, friends in the art community here. And, you know, I find a lot of good in people and stuff. So like, I think like what's really, leave your phone behind, let go, like be in a conversation where, you know, you don't pull your phone out for 2 hours. You don't, you know, look at, you know, your notifications or anything, because like, honestly, like I think the main thing is like your main sphere, like around you, is like probably what like is like the most important and affects your day-to-day life and stuff. And I think that, you know, like 2 years of a pandemic has really made me realize that, is that like, you know, there's a lot going on out there, but a lot of that may not touch me, but I should still be aware of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think being aware is also like can kind of hurt your mental health sometimes, but like knowing like what the balance is to like make sure you're okay, and that, you know, your people are okay, and that you're interacting with them in a way that like is meaningful and like not absent at the same time, you know.
Yeah, dude, that's big, like really really important. Just little stuff, just like little things to be mindful of.
Yeah
And I think it's just parsing out like all of like the garbage. It's like we're basically just sorting trash, because it's like we don't know what is truthful, what is not, what is manipulated. Most of it is manipulated mm-hmm. to get a reaction out of us, and to completely check out from that game and just be like, I'm not going to play, is like how we like take a hold of like our, it's up to us. It's like we're choosing to buy into a news cycle if we choose to like put our I always go back to like the malleability, or how malleable we are, because it's just like we don't even realize it's like these ideas are being funneled into us, and then we're changing our behaviors and we're seeing the worst in one another, when it's like, yo, like if I go down the street and I introduce myself to 10 people, like 9 out of 10 are good. Portland has its proclivity to be kind of like socially awkward in a lot of places, but it's like, it doesn't mean that they're bad people.
Totally.
Like, maybe Portland's a bad example. like restaurants or just like stores, and I'm just like, what the fuck was that? Mm-hmm. Like a lot.
Yeah.
It's just like, yo, like, do you know you're in the service industry? It's like, you don't know, you haven't figured this whole thing out yet.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I think getting off the phones is like paramount. Like, there's a phone that I want to get. getting off the phones is paramount, but there's a phone that I want to get. It's called Light Phone.
Okay.
And it has like no email, no apps. Like it just has calling, texting, and there's like a directions app.
Yeah. And then like, you like leave your iPhone in a safe.
Yeah. Home it's like something. This little like phone with like no capabilities. And it's just like, yeah, you just fucking burn. But that's like, you got to figure out ways to pick yourself. Cause I like consistently, I download Instagram, I offload it, exit it, download TikTok, exit it. Like, and it's just an ongoing thing, but the act of actually doing it, mm-hmm. like regardless if I like stick to it for very long, cause it's like, I got to like promote things and I got to share things and I got to be active to some capacity.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Until y'all start going to my website and I can just like keep you updated over there or whenever Web3 fucking attaches to my fucking head. but it's like just the simple act of being like, oh, I'd notice when I'm using it too much and like I will actively like cancel it. Like I pulled out my phone now. It's like I deleted it before I came over here because today I was like, oh, I've been on it way too much.
Yeah.
Exit. Like let's, and it's providing ourselves the opportunity to like start over again or to address something and make an actionable change and not being like, oh, I got to be perfect at the end of it. It's just like, I know how to start this purging process, if you will, at any point. But yeah, be good to people and get off your phone. You know,
what I had been doing with that is that just I get home from work sometimes, you know, I'd say by 6 or 7, because I'm home by like 4:35 typically, but like by 6 or 7 I put my phone on do not disturb and I put it on a charger in my bedroom and then I go chill in my living room for the rest of the night. And like that has been great because I feel more present with my partner. I feel like more like maybe I might watch TV or maybe I might like put on a vinyl or something like that. But like, and I'm still consuming stuff, but I'm not like staring down, you know, with my neck, like, you know, cracked, like, you know, like work, you know, I, even at work, like, you know, maybe do like the, I do like the Instagram for my work too. So like I'm constantly like kind of just like bouncing back and forth between my computer, my phone, like my coworkers, you know, all these different things. And so yeah, like just signing out and like exiting the matrix for a little bit, bro. It's like, I think like, you know, there was a time where there was none of it. And, you know, I think that, you know, giving yourself a little bit of space is great for your mental health. Like we're the first, you know, we're the first generation that has even had this level of information overload like that we've had, and we don't really know what the long term is, all of it, you know.
Yeah, but it's like we've seen like the short term detriment, like that, like the short term detriment, it's like is enough to kind of like,
oh yeah,
like highlight what it's going to be, where there's just complete like distrust in everything. There's already like that kind of like distrust with all things consume, but we're addicted to it at the same time.
Yeah,
it's like
totally.
Cancer is causing, like sickness causing destruction, but we're so fucking addicted to it, which is wild. But word. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that you know, besides the bleakness of that concept, you know, going out and interacting with your people and like making sure they're good and, you know, making sure that you're making good connections and everyone is, you know, learning from one another, I think is, I like, you know, is a message that, you know, either in my personal life, my work, whatever, like, I think that that's just something that's important and keep in mind, you know, like pulling back to, you know, like, you know, after 2 years of being in this, you know, I think that we're all different people. And I think that we just need to like figure out who we are and figure out how we want to enter. And like, I think, you know, if you keep it positive and creative, like I think only good things are going to come from that.
I agree. Well said. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can, I got a website. It's adamcoca.com. That's AdamCoca.com. Or you can follow me on Instagram. It is @_AdamCoca.
Awesome. Thank you, Adam, and thank you all for listening to Oops. We did it!
Hell yeah.
2 years later!
Woo!